Medicare and Medicaid fundamentals. Overview. Unlike other businesses, healthcare provider organizations usually don't receive payment directly from their customers, patients. Instead, they have to deal with the government and insurance companies in order to be paid. Reimbursement from these third-party payers is the source of most of their revenue. Third-party payment is an absolutely key factor in your customer's decision-making and priority setting. If the reimbursement level drops for a particular procedure, use of that procedure often declines quickly. If reimbursement is tied to a particular goal, for instance, when Medicare began tying payment levels to certain patient outcomes, providers tend to move very fast to achieve that goal. An understanding of third-party payers and their basic reimbursement rules and mechanisms is critical to your success in healthcare sales. It will help you speak your customer's language and better understand their challenges. This course will explain how your customers are reimbursed for the care they provide to their patients. It will focus primarily on the two biggest payers, Medicare and Medicaid, but will touch on private insurance plans as well. Topics include reimbursement sources, including Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance plans, the importance of Medicare, coding systems, Medicare payment systems for specific provider categories, including physicians, hospitals, labs, and post-acute providers, reimbursement sources. Reimbursement from the government or an insurance company is referred to as third-party payment. As shown on the graph below, nearly half of all Americans get their health insurance from their employer, through a wide variety of different health insurance companies and plans. The single biggest payer, however, is Medicare, so we'll start our discussion there. Medicare. Medicare is the nation's largest health insurance program, covering people 65 years of age and older, some disabled people under 65 years of age, and people with end-stage renal disease, permanent kidney failure requiring dialysis or a transplant. It is federally funded and administered by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, and covers approximately 59 million Americans. Medicare is an insurance program. Medicare bills are paid from trust funds, which those covered have paid into. It serves people over 65 primarily, whatever their income, and serves younger disabled people and dialysis patients. Patients pay part of costs through deductibles. Small monthly premiums are required for non-hospital coverage. Virtually all physicians participate in the Medicare program, as do most hospitals, independent labs, skilled nursing homes, and other healthcare providers. Although everyone complains about the complexity of Medicare rules and regulations, the system is very efficient when claims are properly submitted. Payment for clean electronic claims is usually made less than 24 days after the date of submission. The bottom line: most healthcare providers rely on Medicare for a significant portion of their total revenue and must do business with Medicare to survive economically. Medicare Part A. Most beneficiaries get Medicare Part A, often referred to as hospital insurance, automatically when they turn age 65 and have worked at least 10 years or 40 quarters and paid Medicare taxes during that time. They do not have to pay a monthly premium for Part A, because they or a spouse paid Medicare taxes while they were working. Medicare Part A is often referred to as hospital insurance, but it also covers some other services including care in skilled nursing facilities, hospice care, ambulatory surgery centers and home health agencies. When a Medicare beneficiary is hospitalized, Medicare reimburses 100% of the preset charge for that care, less the patient's deductible. Medicare Part B. Medicare Part B, sometimes referred to as medical insurance, pays for doctors, outpatient hospital care, laboratory and diagnostic tests, influenza and pneumonia vaccinations, home medical equipment, home rehabilitation survey. CE SAN. Some other medical services that Part A does not cover. Part B helps pay for these covered services and supplies when they are medically necessary. Medicare Part B coverage is optional and enrollees pay a monthly premium. Part C. Medicare Advantage plans. Beginning in 1997, Medicare beneficiaries were given the option to receive their Medicare benefits through privately run plans under a new program, Medicare Part C. These plans are referred to as Medicare Advantage plans but are offered by private insurance companies under a variety of brand names. These companies and their plans are approved by Medicare. Medicare Advantage programs are managed care plans differing from original Medicare in several ways. Beneficiaries receive their Part A, Part B, and usually Part D, drug, benefits all through their Medicare Advantage plan and may receive additional benefits as well. With original Medicare, CMS directly reimburses providers for their services. With Medicare Advantage plans, providers are paid by the plan and Medicare pays the plans a fixed amount per beneficiary per month. Beneficiaries with original Medicare may receive services from almost any provider. Advantage plans typically limit provider choice so that services from non-participating provider may not be covered. Medicare Part D. Prescription drug plans. Medicare Part D was added in 2006 as an optional benefit to provide coverage for prescription drugs. Anyone with Part A or B is eligible for Part D to obtain coverage. Beneficiaries must enroll in a standalone prescription drug plan, PDP. These plans are approved and regulated by the Medicare program but designed and administered by private companies. The list of covered drugs and benefits varies widely among the various Part D plans. Beneficiaries may also opt to get prescription drug coverage through a Part C plan. Medicare Supplemental Insurance. Medicare Supplemental Insurance is a category of private insurance often called Medigap coverage because it helps cover the gaps in Medicare coverage. Greater than the deductibles and coinsurance that patients must pay under Medicare can mount quickly, and Medigap plans cover some or all of this additional cost to the patient. Medicaid. Medicaid is a welfare program designed to pay for the healthcare needs of the poor. Nearly 67 million Americans are Medicaid recipients. Medicaid is administered by the individual states. The federal government provides about 61.5% of the funding for Medicaid and sets certain guidelines, but the states control overall spending. Therefore, Medicaid coverage policies and reimbursement levels vary from state to state. Payment amounts differ dramatically from one state to another and may be very low compared to other payers. Many states subcontract the administration of Medicaid to private health insurance companies or managed care organizations. MCOs. In these instances, Medicaid recipients are enrolled in a private health plan, which most often receives a fixed, capitated, monthly payment from the state. The health plan must then cover the recipient's healthcare services and accept the risk of managing total costs. Medicaid is a particularly important payer to skilled nursing facilities, nursing homes. Medicaid payments currently assist nearly 60% of all nursing home residents. The cost of nursing home care is a major part of many states' total budgets. The Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the health care reform law also referred to as the ACA or Obamacare, greatly expanded both eligibility for and federal funding of Medicaid. Indemnity plans. An indemnity insurance plan, also referred to as a fee-for-service plan, provides coverage regardless of what physician or facility provides the service, although in some cases the reimbursement amount may be limited. The insurance plan usually requires that the patient pay a deductible amount before the insurance company provides any reimbursement. The beneficiary may also be required to pay something as well. Coinsurance, based on a certain percentage of the cost of medical care, usually 10 to 20%. A copayment, a fixed amount per visit or procedure, often in the $10 to $50 range. Until a couple of decades ago, almost all health insurance was based on fee-for-service, meaning that the patient could seek care anywhere they chose and the insurance company would pay for each service provided depending on the terms of the policy. As healthcare costs increased, employers turned to various kinds of managed care, As a means of reducing healthcare costs, managed care plans. Managed care refers to health insurance programs that require beneficiaries to follow certain rules and guidelines in order to qualify for coverage. How is that different from indemnity plans? Take, for example, a patient requiring surgery in a hospital. A traditional fee-for-service plan might pay 85 to 100% of the cost depending on the plan's benefits regardless of what facility is selected. A managed care plan would generally cover only hospitals, and doctors in an approved network or might pay a lower share of the cost for non-network providers in order to control costs. Managed care plans sometimes add certain requirements. For example, the plan may require a referral from a network physician before a hospital stay or before a specialist is consulted. The patient may be required to have all diagnostic testing done at an approved laboratory. Certain procedures may not be approved based on the managed care company's medical guidelines. Managed care plans use varying compensation methods to pay providers for their services. In capitation arrangements, the healthcare provider is paid a set amount per member per month, regardless of the costs to care for each patient. This arrangement transfers risk to the provider, who must work to minimize costs of care. If a provider has a high percentage of revenue from capitation arrangements, he or she may be reluctant to purchase products that increase the cost of care. And as a sales representative, you will need to show how your products reduce overall costs by keeping the patient healthier. In discounted fee-for-service arrangements, the healthcare provider agrees to offer care for the plan's members at an agreed-upon discount in order to be able to serve the plan's members. In some cases, physicians are salaried employees of the health plan. K time equals 1's greater than. Because managed care has significantly impacted how medicine is practiced and paid for, it's good to be familiar with some of the different types of managed care plans. Health maintenance organizations, HMOs, and exclusive provider organizations, EPOs. The term health maintenance organization, HMO, is generally used to refer to prepaid health plans that cover only in-network providers. The HMO usually requires members, except in certain emergencies, to use doctors and hospitals that have agreements with the HMO, providers with which the HMO has contracted to provide care at reduced or pre-arranged rates. Otherwise, the cost of the care is not covered. Some HMOs operate their own group practice facilities and directly employ physicians. Others contract with local physicians and other professionals. And some combine both approaches. The term exclusive provider organizations, EPOs, is also used in some instances, and some sources differentiate slightly between two. Be aware that every plan is different and different organizations tend to define types of plans differently. Preferred provider organizations, PPOs, and point of service, POS, plans. Preferred provider organizations and point of service plans combine features of traditional fee-for-service plans and HMOs. Like an HMO, these plans usually have a network of doctors and hospitals to serve their beneficiaries. When these preferred providers are used, the patient receives the highest level of coverage and no claim forms are required. Unlike HMOs, PPOs and POS plans allow patients to see doctors who are not part of the plan and still receive some coverage. However, the patient will pay a larger portion of the bill and may also be required to submit claims forms. When contracting with PPOs, providers agree to accept discounted fees for their services but may have less pressure to ration or control patient access to specialists and other healthcare services than required in HMO agreements. High deductible health plans, HDHPs. One of the fast-growing forms of private health insurance is the high deductible health plan, HDHP. These plans generally offer lower premiums and in exchange for higher deductibles, the amount the beneficiary must pay out of pocket before insurance coverage begins. High deductible health plans are a form of catastrophic coverage, intended to cover the costs of major illnesses and procedures that could devastate a person financially, rather than covering everyday medical expenses. Private pay, self-pay. Private pay is a term that encompasses both private insurance and people paying for their care from personal funds. Self-pay for medical services occurs when patients have no insurance, have not met their annual deductible, or when Medicare or another payer denies payment. patients must also pay for services not covered by Medicare or their private health plan. Obviously, some patients cannot or do not pay for uncovered medical expenses, resulting in a major issue for many providers: uncompensated care. Payer mix. Payer mix is the term used to describe where an account's revenue comes from. Most physician practices and hospitals receive at least 30% of their revenue from Medicare and the rest from other payers. It is important to know an account's payer mix in order to understand how your products will be reimbursed. Payer mix can also provide a hint of the provider's financial challenges. For instance, a facility that receives most of its reimbursement from Medicaid is more likely to be financially strapped, since most Medicaid plans pay less than other providers. An account that receives most of its revenue from Medicare is often easier to deal with because you can use available Medicare fee schedules to determine exactly what they will be paid for a particular product or service. Why is Medicare reimbursement so important? Although it is only one of many payment sources for your customers, conversations around reimbursement often center on Medicare. It is important to understand how Medicare works for the following reasons. Medicare is a benchmark for all other payers. Understanding Medicare allows you to estimate and project payment levels for all other payers. Medicare payments are an important source of revenue. Almost all of your accounts rely on Medicare for a significant portion of their income. Medicare rules and regulations are complicated. Your accounts will expect you to know how Medicare pays for your products, and they will need your assistance on coding and coverage. Ignorance of Medicare regulations can create legal liability. You can overcome objections based on fear of non-compliance with billing rules by providing accurate information on coding and claim submission. Let's take a look at each of these points in greater detail. Medicare is a benchmark for all other payers. Medicare is regulated by published rules accessible to everyone. As a result, most other payers use Medicare rules and regulations as the basis for setting their own payment levels. Insurance companies may calculate and set their payments to physician and other providers at a fixed percentage of Medicare fees. Negotiate with provider organization for rates pegged to Medicare. For example, a large health system with considerable market share might negotiate for payment at 150% of Medicare amounts. As a broad, general rule, private insurance typically pays providers more than Medicare does, and Medicaid generally pays less. However, payment rates vary dramatically by payer and region. Medicare often leads the way not only on payment rates, but also on payment models and coverage policy. Since Medicare coverage rules are conservative, it's usually a good bet that if Medicare pays for a specific test or procedure, most other payers will cover the service as well. Medicare payments are an important source of revenue. Medicare reimbursement makes up on average 20-30% of provider revenue. Very few health care providers can afford not to accept Medicare patients. There are a few exceptions. Some specialties such as pediatrics will have few Medicare patients because of the age of their patients, and others like cosmetic surgery practices may not deal with Medicare because their services are usually not covered. Medicare rules and regulations are complicated. Medicare payments vary by location, type of healthcare provider, and the specific service provided. In other words, the Medicare system is complicated and often not accurately understood by your customers. A basic but accurate knowledge of Medicare rules can make you a valuable resource to your customers. Ignorance of Medicare regulations can create legal liability. The dark side of Medicare is that billing errors have legal as well as financial consequences. When physicians or hospitals accept payments from Medicare, they become subject to a variety of federal laws unique to the healthcare industry. These laws are designed to prevent fraud and abuse of the Medicare program, but they are not always logical. In addition, many marketing practices that are perfectly legal and common practice in other business situations are not acceptable when dealing with Medicare. Many of these legal issues are covered in the AMS Sales Training Course Legal Issues in Healthcare Sales. How Medicare works. Since Medicare is so important to your customers, and since its rules are often used as the basis for determining how other healthcare services are reimbursed, it is important that you understand how the system works. Often, Medicaid and private insurance processes will be similar. Coding systems. Payment for virtually all medical procedures depends on accurate coding. Three separate coding systems are used to file Medicare and other insurance claims. CPT and HCPCS codes are used to describe what was done, and diagnosis codes are used to describe why it was done. All the codes must be correct before payment will be made. Correct coding is extremely important to your customers because it increases revenue, improves collections, and prevents Medicare audits and penalties. Accurate coding can ensure that Medicare pays the correct and entire amount a provider deserves. If the code is wrong, the payment will be denied or improperly paid. What's more, sloppy or abusive coding practices can result in Medicare audits, huge fines, and even jail time. CPT codes, HCPCS codes. The Healthcare Common Procedure Coding System, HCPCS, commonly pronounced HCPCS, includes codes that begin with a letter A, V, followed by four numbers. These codes are created by Medicare for items or procedures, which are not included in the CPT and are used only for Medicare and Medicaid claims. CPT codes, CPT stands for Current Procedural Terminology, are used to identify medical procedures and physician services. Commonly called procedure codes, these codes are revised and published annually by the American Medical Association. The procedure code is one of the most important parts of a Medicare claim. The code reported determines what and if payment will be made for a given test or procedure. Diagnosis codes, otherwise known as ICD, ICD-9, or ICD-10 codes, International Classification of Disease, are used to identify why a test or service was provided, as opposed to CPT codes, which identify what specific test or service was provided. ICD-10 is a more recent and more granular version of the system, with many more codes, effective in the U.S. beginning October 2015. Diagnosis codes provide a means for Medicare to determine if the tests or services submitted for payment match the patient's condition. Diagnosis codes or a narrative description of the diagnosis are required on all Medicare claims submitted by physicians. Evaluation and Management, E&M, codes. Office visits are the lifeblood of any physician practice. Practice revenue depends heavily on how many patients are seen by each physician in the practice. Office visits are also very important to Medicare because of the billions of dollars they pay out each year for these services. Office visits are reported using Evaluation and Management, E&M, CPT codes. Each type of E&M code, new patient, established patient, consultation, etc., has 3 to 5 levels of service. Depending on the complexity of the patient's problem and the medical decision-making required, although typical time spent with the patient is included in each description, the level is determined only by the complexity of the key components, history, examination, and medical decision-making. Medicare requires physicians to keep a detailed patient medical record to substantiate the assignment of E&M service levels. Unusually high levels of service are subject to Medicare audit. Medicare contractors. CMS does not actually process Medicare claims, but contracts with various private companies in each state to provide these services. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, uses a network of contractors called Medicare Administrative Contractors, MACs, to process claims, enroll providers in the Medicare program, and educate providers on Medicare billing requirements. MACs also handle claims appeals and answer beneficiary and provider inquiries. The contractors for Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B claims are referred to briefly as A/B MACs. These contractors, as assigned to a defined jurisdiction, or geographic area, servicing institutional providers, physicians, practitioners, and suppliers. There are a total of 15 jurisdictions. Some contractors manage more than one jurisdiction. Claims for home health and hospice, HH plus H, workloads are consolidated into four of the A, B max. Claims for durable medical equipment, prosthetics, orthotics, and suppliers, DME POS, are processed by DME max, by jurisdiction. CMS has been consolidating its number and types of contractors over several years. The three basic requirements for Medicare payment: before Medicare pays for any procedure, test, or diagnostic service, three basic criteria must be met. 1. The patient must be eligible for Medicare. 2. The service must be covered by Medicare. 3. The service must be medically necessary or indicated. If the above three criteria are met, the amount paid is dependent on the CPT code SUBME. TTED and which one of the Medicare payment systems applies. Medicare payment systems. Different Medicare payment systems are used for different types of providers. For example, hospitals are paid under the Inpatient Prospective Payment System, IPPS, and the Outpatient Prospective Payment System, OPS. Physicians, laboratories and imaging centers are paid using both the physician and laboratory fee schedules. Virtually every type of extended care provider has a different payment system. In this course, we will introduce the basics of several payment systems. Smart sales reps will follow up by learning more about reimbursement for the specific markets they serve. Although the Affordable Care Act has added new wrinkles to many of these payment systems, it's important that you understand the basic payment mechanisms, so that's what we will cover here. The Hospital Inpatient Prospective Payment System, IPPS. Reimbursement for part of hospital inpatient stays is prospective, meaning that it is set in advance rather than varying based on actual costs. The preset payment amounts are based on diagnosis-related groups, DRGs. One or more DRGs apply depending on the patient's illness. The hospital receives a fixed amount for each DRG for which the patient qualifies. CMS develops DRG payment amounts in advance using data from hospitals, including the average length of stay for that particular illness and reported costs. Since the payment amount is fixed for each DRG, the hospital has a financial incentive to discharge patients as soon as possible and limit costs. It also means that you will be pressed to provide products at the lowest possible cost, or to show how your products can decrease the time a patient remains in the hospital or otherwise saves the hospital money. All costs incurred by the hospital in treating an inpatient are covered by the DRG payment. However, physician charges, including surgeons, radiologists and pathologists, are paid separately under the physician fee schedule described next. In other words, the hospital gets a single payment covering all its costs related to an inpatient stay, but physicians are paid separately for each hospital visit, surgical procedure or other service they may provide to the patient. Laboratory tests and the technical component of radiology and pathology services performed for Medicare inpatients are included in the DRG payment. Technical components will be discussed shortly. The Medicare Physician Fee Schedule, PFS. Reimbursement for Medicare Part B physician services is determined by the Physician Fee Schedule. The amount paid is based on a relative value system where every procedure is assigned a relative value defined by the resources required to perform the service. Fee schedule amounts are calculated using a formula involving a uniform national multiplier and variable local factors. There is a corresponding amount on the physician fee schedule for every covered CPT code. Payment is the same regardless of medical specialty or where the service is delivered, with the exception of services performed in a hospital facility. A national conversion factor establishes the dollar value of the total relative value units for any given procedure. The factor is adjusted each year using a complex formula agreed upon by CMS and Congress. Medicare pays 80% of the physician schedule fee amount to the physician. Patients are responsible for the other 20% co-payment plus any applicable deductible amounts. Medicare always pays the lower of the fee schedule amount or the amount submitted on the claim. If a provider charges less than the fee schedule amount, Medicare will pay only the amount billed. Therefore, providers usually set their fees well above Medicare rates. The amount submitted does not matter to Medicare since they merely pay the amount listed on the physician fee schedule. Clinical Laboratory Fee Schedule. Medicare Part B covers medically necessary diagnostic laboratory services ordered by a doctor or practitioner. Most Medicare payments for lab tests are based on the Clinical Laboratory Fee Schedule. Each year, fees are updated for inflation based on the percentage change in the Consumer Price Index, CPI. Congress can also modify the fee schedule through legislation. Pathology services not included in the laboratory fee schedule are paid from the physician fee schedule. No co-payment applies for services on the laboratory fee schedule. The provider receives the entire amount listed on the laboratory fee schedule and the patient pays nothing. National limiting amounts, NLAs, apply to most laboratory tests on the laboratory fee schedule. NL is defined the maximum amount Medicare pays for a given test. When the fee schedule is adjusted by a given percentage, national caps are adjusted up or down by the same amount. Medicare payment for clinical laboratory tests is always the lesser of the fee scheduled NLA or the actual amount billed. The laboratory fee schedule is adjusted based on change to the CPI or by statutory changes approved by Congress. Thus, Medicare contractors must always pay the same amount for a given test. They have no authority to adjust payment amounts once Congress sets the fee schedule. Likewise, providers may not request adjustments to fee schedule amounts no matter how illogical or low the payment may be. Assignment of payment is mandatory for all tests on the laboratory fee schedule. This means that the provider must accept the Medicare reimbursement as payment in full for a laboratory test. Medicare patients may not be billed for any additional amounts. The Medicare Outpatient Prospective Payment System, OPS. Medicare pays hospitals for outpatient services using the Outpatient Prospective Payment System, OPS. Under the OPPS, outpatient services are organized into groups of services known as ambulatory payment classifications, APCs, that are similar clinically and require similar resources. Hospitals must report CPT or HCPCS codes for all services they provide in order to be paid accurately under OPPS. Each code billed connects to a specific APC and is paid accordingly. E equals 1's greater than a unique coinsurance co-payment amount applies to each APC group and all HCPCS codes included in the APC. This portion of the total OPS payment is collected by the hospital directly from the patient. Co-payment amounts range from 20 to 40% of the APC payment. The OPS payment covers only the cost of hospital-provided services. It does not include any services already paid under other fee schedules or payment systems, such as physician services, paid under the physician fee schedule, laboratory services, paid under the laboratory fee schedule, and most durable medical equipment, DME, and supplies, paid under the DME fee schedule. For radiology and pathology procedures that are split into professional and technical components, the OPS payment replaces the technical component. The professional component is paid separately to the physician. Professional and technical components are discussed below. Ambulatory Surgical Center Fee Schedule, ASCFS. For Medicare purposes, an ambulatory surgical center, ASC, is a distinct entity that operates exclusively for the purpose of furnishing surgical services to patients who do not require hospitalization and in which the expected duration of services does not exceed 24 hours following admission. Medicare pays these facilities using the Ambulatory Surgical Center Fee Schedule, ASCFS. Facilities covered under the ASCFS may be independent or operated by a hospital, which can result in some confusion as to which facilities are classified as ACS and which are considered an outpatient surgery department of a hospital and therefore paid based on the OPS. CMS clarifies that a hospital outpatient department, including an outpatient surgery department, may be on or off campus but must be an integral part of the hospital, and may not be separately enrolled and certified in Medicare. The ASC payment system uses the Outpatient Prospective Payment System, OPS, relative payment weights as a guide for setting payment rates. Medicare makes a single payment to ASCs for covered surgical procedures. This payment is designed to include the cost of trademark nursing services, technical personnel, use of ASC facilities, certain drugs, various surgical supplies and equipment, blood and plasma, and anesthesia products, among others. Trademark. However, ASCs can be reimbursed separately for some covered ancillary services connected to the surgical procedure, including certain drugs and biological implantable device and certain other specified services. Some other products and services connected to a surgical procedure may be billed by a different provider. For instance, physician services are billed separately and paid under the physician fee schedule, and non-implantable prosthetic devices may be billed by durable medical equipment, DME, supplier. Medicare payment systems for post-acute providers. Medicare Part A pays for care in skilled nursing facilities, SNFSOR nursing homes. On the basis of a prospective payment system, the PPS payment rates are adjusted for case mix, the types of patients and level of care they require, and for geographic variation in wages. The facility receives a per diem payment covering all costs, routine ancillary and capital, related to the services furnished to the patient. Per diem payments for each admission are case mix adjusted using a system called RUGS IV, Resource Utilization Groups IV. Nursing home staff must classify each patient in a specific RUG using an extensive questionnaire assessment called the MDS 3.0. Medicare coverage for SNF care is strictly limited, and in many cases a Medicare patient who requires skilled nursing care does not qualify. For example, a patient must have a qualifying 3-day hospital admission prior to going to the SNF in order to be covered. Medicare has a different payment system for each different category of post-acute provider. Durable medical equipment, DME, companies, home health agencies, hospice providers, long-term acute care hospitals, and inpatient rehabilitation facilities, to name some of them. Assisted living facilities, ALFs, also provide a limited number of medical services to their residents. Medicare does not pay for services provided in ALFs, but some state Medicaid programs do. Other post-acute providers include hospices, home health agencies, and durable medical equipment, DME, suppliers. Check the table at the end of this course for more details on payment systems for these providers. Conclusion: you can keep up with changes in Medicare Medicaid. EAK time equals 0.3s, greater than and private insurance payment and policies by keeping in close contact with the key manufacturers you represent and ask them to keep you informed about reimbursement changes. Checking the CMS website, www.cms.gov, for updates that may be important to you and your customers. Reading HEDA news and online resources. Payment amounts, rules, and methodologies are constantly changing. For instance, the Affordable Care Act, healthcare reform, or Obamacare, has added many new wrinkles to how providers are paid. Third-party payment impacts your customer's financial health, business model, and strategic priorities. Your expertise in these areas will position you as a trusted resource and help you better serve your customers.